My attitude is shit. My message to the censorship committee, who's the biggest gang of niggas in the city?
The critics or the cops?
The courts or the crooks? Don't look shook, confused. Take a closer look.
Niggas get they neck broke daily, trying to stay jail free.
What the fuck does Quail know as young black males? Please tell me. Message to the censorship committee, who's the biggest gang of niggas in the city?
I pack a 9mm cause I got a living hotter than the 4th of July. If I gotta die, I gotta.
Mama told me don't let them save.
Okay, we're joined here today with somebody that was in Charlottesville last night. We're going to be talking about what happened. Richard Spencer and his trust fund goons returned to Emancipation Park with about 30 people. They said they've been planning it for some time, and they were on the ground only for about 10 minutes before they left with a police escort. So we're joined here today with somebody that's going to remain anonymous. Do you just want to introduce yourself a little bit?
Yeah, hi. I am part of the local Anarchist People of Color Collective in Charlottesville. We've been active for about 6 years now, and we have been in the ground in a lot of anti-fascist resistance since last winter, but it has escalated a lot for us this summer, as most people know.
Right. Well, can you just paint a picture for people? What has transpired after August 12th, like what has happened on the ground? What have you all been doing? What's kind of led up to this moment last night?
Cool. So since August 12th, it's been heavily reported that the alt-right has had a whole lot of fallout because of their open display of violence. However, that doesn't mean the fallout doesn't mean that they're necessarily dead. And in fact, the National Policy Institute, Richard Spencer's organization, which organized this, has encouraged leaderless resistance that sort of plans in secret. And so this rally last night was planned in secret. A lot of residents in Charlottesville were not surprised, obviously caught off guard, but not surprised. And we knew that this was coming at one point or another. We have been building networks throughout the summer and since August 12th to sort of cement relationships across different demographics, whether it's students, the poor black neighborhoods, you know, just like local organizing networks, and a Muslim community, et cetera. And we have been sort of solidifying relationships so that we can get better at this sort of rapid response. And we have also been working hard on holding the city accountable for sort of allowing these Nazis to come into town, do their thing, recruit, and then leave peacefully, which is exactly what they did last night as well.
Mm-hmm. Can you just expand upon that a little bit? Because I know people like Jason Kessler and Richard Spencer put the blame of what happened in Charlottesville at the foot of the police and the city government, and they paint a picture of like left-wing conspiracy and Black Lives Matter and Antifa working with especially like the vice mayor. But what do you see as the role of the city and the police and basically like the local elites in all of this?
Yeah, so I mean, the police and the city has been sort of taking this approach of wanting to go back to the normal Charlottesville, quote unquote normal, right? And for us, normal Charlottesville is a Charlottesville that, you know, is anti-black, that gentrifies neighborhoods, that routinely stops young black youth at disproportionate rates. So for us, we know like what side they're on in a systemic sense. And they, you know, the city makes us clear about where they stand in the fact that, for example, on July 8th, when the KKK came, they arrested three people with felony masking charges, but the one Klans person that showed up with a mask didn't get arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Jason Kessler, the same day that he was let out, the city dropped his charges for disorderly conduct for an arrest against him on May 14th. Three people were arrested at city council with disorderly conduct charges for disrupting city council, calling them out, saying that they have blood on their hands over what happened in August 12th. So residents here have been very clear that like the Nazis and the city worked very much hand in hand in a systemic sense. Explaining about this, holding the city accountable. So yeah, we, we believe the city very much stepped back in August 12th, mostly because of the critique that they received on July 8th. But they took it because they were very heavy-handed in their response to July 8th. So they did the exact extreme opposite and just sort of let people get beaten up, which is exactly what happened, and it cost people's lives. I would like to know where this conspiracy is that they are working with Antifa and Black Lives Matter, because they've made it very clear to us at city council meetings and such that all that we do is cause trouble, and that we, by paying attention to the Nazis, that we are just making it worse.
Right. So they would like it if everybody just went home and shut up and just let them do their thing and go back.
Exactly.
And also, like, I've seen a couple tweets going around that mention, there was a concert that happened in town. And also, like, apparently there's a lot of signs up, like, you know, Charlottesville celebrates love and all this stuff. And people pointed out, like, you know, just because you, put all these different signs up and you have a big concert doesn't mean that any of this stuff is addressed. And obviously what happened last night is a testament to that, it seems like.
That's correct. For the concert in particular, there's a group called UVA Students United. They put together a video called False Unity, and it was a video statement calling out the concert organizers for sort of painting, you know, with like pretty bright colors all of the violence that happened in Charlottesville without really addressing the root cause of it.
Mm-hmm. Can we just talk now about what happened last night? How did you hear about it? How did people hear that they were out there? What all happened?
Sure. There are, in Central Virginia, we just have this network of, you know, of anti-fascist alerts. And, I just started getting alerts like, hey, you know, Richard Spencer is here. I got a link to the live stream. And within our networks, we just started alerting each other and saying, okay, who's in town, who can show up. I would say within 10 minutes of getting that alert, we had people on the ground. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I wasn't on the ground until about 20 minutes after the alert. But people were there, you know, and include students and community members. But at that point, the police had very kindly told them that they were going to be escorted out of town, and they were loading up on the vans and heading out.
Well, I wanted to ask you two things. The first, and to be clear, like, there was about 30 of them we've read, and they were there literally for 10 minutes. I mean, you can go back and look at the reporter's tweets, and it's like, you know, 10 minutes after they say they're there, they're being loaded up into their cars. But it's clear, and the media have said this, that they were informed ahead of time. So basically they were doing a press conference for Richard Spencer, and then the police gave them an escort. What are your feelings about this, and what does this say just about these institutions, both the media and the police? I mean, why would they basically set up a press conference for them? And then also, why would the police feel it's necessary to give them an escort out of town?
Yeah, both really good questions. For the first one, for the media, you know, my immediate reaction is that it's a heavy, heavy hypocrisy, right? Because the mainstream media has put an anti-fascist on blast for saying that by paying attention to the Nazis and going to confront them, you're giving them the attention that they want.
Right.
But then we see this, and they are basically like giving them the exact press conference that they're looking for, and calling them white activists, and, you know, sort of putting their message verbatim when they have the absolute choice to refuse to cover them and instead expose their violence. For the police, in last night's march, people were chanting over and over, cops and Klan go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a very sort of metaphorical meaning to that of like systemic violence and the way that white supremacy works, but it also is very literal. Like, they help each other out. The cops help white supremacists, you know, recruit and have their spaces safely, And then the Klan helps sort of put fear in people of color communities so that they don't, quote, like, step out of line. Mm-hmm. And so it is no surprise that they were escorted. A couple of us actually followed them in cars, and they were escorted roughly like 20 miles out of town. The town is not that big, but they were escorted pretty far and then dropped off, and we continued following them through country roads until we confirmed that they were actually heading back to Alexandria, which is where Richard Spencer lives.
Right. I mean, it's just, like you said, it's crazy because it's, you know, the media, like you said, has been going so hard saying, like, we hear this from journalists all the time. If you weren't out there protesting against them, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have to tell their story. And it's like they're lining up to, like, talk about 30 people that also are from out of town. So this whole talk of, like, outside agitators is actually true in this case, you know?
Yep, exactly. The entire crowd that came all came in those four Enterprise vans.
Right. And we saw on the photos that Mike Pinovich or Mike Enoch from the Right Podcast Network was there. Mm-hmm. And also, this is like days after, you know, a very viral article has gone out about Milo Yiannopoulos and his links to the alt-right, which predominantly shows Richard Spencer and a bunch of his Nazi buddies, including Mike Enoch, who was there last night, giving Nazi salutes at a bar in Dallas while Milo sings America the Beautiful. It's crazy.
Yeah, it most definitely is. And, you know, Breitbart, I think everybody is pretty clear that they're like right wing and facilitating white nationalists, but people have to pay that same attention to the NBCs and CBSs of the world.
Right. Okay, so people got on the ground like 10 minutes after, which is, you know, when they were getting in their cars. I mean, this was not a very long rally at all. It was very much a photo op. And Spencer even said, like, we came in peace on August 12th, and we came in peace again tonight. I'm just curious what your thoughts are to that statement, because very much so, this was a photo op, but they wanted to get across that they're just, you know, we're just activists.
Right. Yeah, they're working really, really hard to gain sympathy from the press and sort of mainstream views that they're just like you said, they're just advocates, they're just activists. But in the same rally last night, they name by name local activists who have been fighting against them very publicly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're never going to say, we need to kill so-and-so. Sometimes they do, but they're you know, in spaces like that, they're never going to say that. But that is what they're sort of pushing people like, right? Like, they're saying, okay, you know, we're the friendly ones. And by the way, you should go after these activists who are giving us a hard time.
Right.
So they are, you know, they use these spaces to very subtly push for people to be violent and, you know, and push the project of white supremacy forward.
Mm-hmm. And in the lead up to Unite the Right on August 12th, I mean, you know, all you had to do was go on to alright.com, which is Richard Spencer's website, and also the Daily Stormer to read them saying, you know, bring guns, bring arms. There's going to be clashes. You know, we want a war. You know, we need violence to feel like powerful men. I mean, they were not pulling any punches about how they felt about this. And I don't know, do you think that media strategy is going to work for them?
You know, it remains to be seen, because they also trip themselves over very easily, you know, with the way that their members will be, you know, embarrassingly violent. Not necessarily like that they don't like them, the fact that they're violent, but just that their violence sort of embarrasses them because they didn't plan for it.
Yeah.
So... like, it just remains to be seen how effective those tactics are at recruiting others.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that we're not going to wait to see what happens. Like, right, we got to keep organizing against them, whether they're being friendly or not.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about the march that happened last night in response real quick. But I wanted to ask one last question. So there was 30 people on their side last night. They came in May at the same spot, and they had about 80 yep. people, and that was something that was similarly organized. You know, they did something during the day, and then they came back at night, and that was broken up by the interestingly by the police, from what I understand, pretty yep. quickly. But they had about 80 people, from what I understand, that time in May.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. That's correct.
So, you know, it stands to reason that if you know they had 80 then, and then Unite the Right happened, which had hundreds of them, and then now they're at 30. Does that say something about what's going on? Like, are they having a harder time pulling people out to public events after Unite the Right?
Yeah, I think there's so, because for to get the 80 in May, they had to work outside of the National Policy Institute and, you know, friendlier blocks like the Right Stuff, and they had to work with Traditionalist Workers Party. They had to work with League of the South. They had to work with Identity Europa. Right, it took this building this coalition to even get that amount of people. Since August 12, a lot of these groups have very, very heavily splintered, and so they no longer have those network connections and are a lot more isolated mm-hmm. from each other. However, the threat still exists that they might get over the differences and start organizing together again.
Was Jason Kessler out there last night?
And he wasn't, and that's another good thing to point out, because he was not involved in the organizing for May 13th, and he wasn't involved in the organizing for last night either.
Right. And also, just one other thing. I mean, they were literally surrounding a statue that had like a tarp covering over it.
Yep.
Do you just want to talk yep. a little bit about that? Like, again, why are they coming? And, you know, it's kind of funny. You know, it's just for somebody that is just looking at it very quickly, it's like, oh, they're standing around a statue that's totally covered. It's like, yeah. What are they doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's very theatric for them. Doesn't matter what they actually look like. They just want to sort of do this pose of like, yeah, we are, you know, we are the face of white activism in the United States. And yeah, with the shrouding, it does paint a kind of bizarre picture. Because, you know, you can't actually see Robert E. Lee. But, you know, again, they just don't care. They're looking for that press attention. And they are looking for that sort of legitimizing messaging.
Right. Okay, so people got there. There was a march. Can you just talk a little bit about how all that went down and what happened?
Yeah, the march, you know, just as the response getting people down there was very spur of the moment, so was the march, of course. Some of us, you know, within these networks thought, you know, we need to kind of do kind of some kind of community response immediately, even if they're not here. And the best way that we thought it would be to take the streets to sort of shut the city down in whatever way we could and make a presence known that every, you know, a lot of people's messaging was every time the city and the police let these Nazis show up, we show up, right? Mm-hmm. That we are not going to sit back and take these hits sitting down, or, you know, metaphorically sitting down, right? Because we also coordinate with people who stay at home and do very amazing work at home. So how that went down, we all got together. We honestly just scrambled for whatever resources we have, you know, like banner, sign, and, you know, I as soon as I found out, I just started scrambling through my house and did a quick pepper spray treatment mix just in case, and got water. You know, like, we all just scrambled, but we also have this experience from before, and we know a little bit better than before how to get ready. Mm-hmm. And so we just started, we met at Emancipation Park. We just started, like, sort of gathering, and once we felt we had enough people, we took the streets. We first went through the pedestrian mall. And at the pedestrian mall, there were tons of people who didn't do anything about the fact that they just saw another torture rally. From word is that they literally marched along all of these restaurants and nobody stopped them, which is also a call out for Charlottesville residents who, like I said before, sort of just want things to go back to normal.
Which is also... For those of us that have watched the events unfold from afar,
yeah.
I mean, seeing people like literally chase Jason Kessler on August 13th, I mean, it definitely gave the appearance that, like, a lot of people that live there, like, were not happy about it, and they were just like, fuck these people that keep coming here.
Yeah, I mean, there are people who are angry, but there are also people who are very inexperienced and just don't know how to react, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the issue we're seeing, and that's also one of the lessons learned, right? Like, we've gotten within, like, some of our immediate networks, gotten pretty good at the rapid response thing. But one, we want to take it a step further and talk about, like, okay, what kind of infrastructure do we need, and what kind of material resources do we need to prevent this from happening at all ever again? And so that's, I feel like, is sort of the next step for the anti-fascist movement in Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm looking right now at you know, the dozens and dozens of articles that have come out since last night about the Torchlit rally, and literally all of them are about either they have a photo of Richard Spencer or they have a photo of people with tiki torches. Mm-hmm. And it seems like none of them are centering the fact that you know, more people organized, you know, in a very small amount of time to oppose them while they were leaving in their cars, escorted by the police. You know, which is obviously exactly what their side wants, but
yep.
I think it's very telling, and also it paints a picture of a group of people that really don't have that much power. And for all their talk of, you know, a Jewish, you know, organized conspiracy and government, I mean, without the state, they wouldn't have anything.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, that's why as much of our attention goes to white nationalists and fascists, you know, goes also towards the state for facilitating and their work and, you know, a lot of times directly collaborating with them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then for the march, you know, like we took the streets, we went down West Main Street, and all along the route, people were cheering on us. And actually a lot of people I've never met before, you know, like hopped out of their restaurant chairs or some, you know, someone even took a break from work just to join the march with us.
That's awesome.
So, you know, there's sort of this want to do more anti-fascist resistance, but the roots haven't really been laid down just because we've only had one summer. So the roots haven't really been laid down for, like, an actual infrastructure around anti-fascist resistance. But anyways, we continued down. We went down University Avenue towards the university. We passed by the Jefferson statue where they had their last torchlit rally. And we went up to what's called Cars Hill, which is where President Teresa Sullivan's house is. We decided that night we would hold her directly accountable because this is something that hasn't come out too much in the news. So UVA had their bicentennial celebration this weekend, and as their opener to the celebration, they had this big old celebration thing on Friday night. Students from the university who know about the university's actual history with white supremacy and know about the actual history with Thomas Jefferson, they stood on the stage holding a banner that said 200 years of white supremacy. Mm-hmm. The three students who held that banner were arrested by police within 5 minutes. And so that just paints a stark contrast with how the Nazis were treated last night. And that was part of the sort of the rage of the students and why they took it to her house. Additionally, as many people know, Richard Spencer is an alum of UVA. And so that one of the demands of the students is to have the university revoke his diploma. We took over her front porch. We actually at one point were able to surround the police. Mm-hmm. And because they were trying to keep us off of her porch, even though that's proper public property. At that point, the police started putting gloves on and declared the gathering of these marchers who were coming out in the name of community defense. They declared the gathering an unlawful assembly, right? Which, again, continues to stand in stark contrast to how they treat Nazis when they gather unlawfully,
right. too. Right. With no permit.
Yeah.
Right. And I just think that's so funny because, again, in so many instances, whether it's in Sacramento in 2016 or in Charlottesville on August 12th, you know, people always make reference to this, you know, these permits, you know,
mm-hmm.
even though obviously the law says in the Constitution you don't need a permit to hold a demonstration, but still, you know, this like mythical permit. And
yeah.
again, they didn't have that. I mean, do you think that they were in contact with the city beforehand about this, though?
I don't think so. I mean, they didn't give contact for both of their May 13th demonstrations, and I highly doubt that they did for this too. I think they just trust that the police will not bother them, you know, because they've already had this track record that the police will not bother them.
Mm-hmm. What was I going to say? Sorry, give me one second.
Okay.
Well, I mean, some people have asked this, why do the police continuously, you know, give them cover? Like, why do they automatically go and like, you know, attempt to basically like, you know, cover their side? It very much seems like, you know, the crowd strategy is like, well, if we can protect the alt-right or the KKK route, then we can kind of contain the demonstration as a whole.
Yeah, that's sort of their justification, is that like if we just sort of coddle them, then they're not going to get angry and they're not going to lash out at the community and they're just going to sort of leave. I don't know if they're aware or not that actually helps them out.
mm-hmm.
But anyways, yeah, so that's sort of the thinking behind it. And it goes from a spectrum, right? There is the systemic part of it that, you know, white supremacists and their work will always align with the state. There's that part. And then there's also a very literal part where there are, you know, members of the National Policy Institute, members of Leo of the South, members of Traditionalist Workers Party, so on and so forth, who are cops. And very actively, you know, help them out.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's like a whole spectrum of like, you know, this is sort of systemic and there are root issues to it. And it's also just like, they're buddies, you know, literally.
mm-hmm. Anything else you want to add? I mean, what's next for you all, in Charlottesville? What advice would you have for other people? I know that in a couple weeks on October 19th, in Gainesville, Florida, Richard Spencer is going to be speaking. And we know that a lot of these groups are mobilizing to support him, and I'm sure we'll be descending on the campus. And also, it's unclear if it's going to happen or not, but a lot of it being that they will be in Charlotte, North Carolina, for another rally on December 28th.
Right. So for the other things to add, I do want to give a very important call out that in these fights in Charlottesville, the people who have been most of the front line have been women and men of color, trans and queer. And they have been the ones who have sort of put their bodies out there first. And, you know, last night they were the first ones to go up to the police and actually confront them when they were trying to protect Teresa Sullivan's house. So I just want to put out there that like a lot of this resistance is led by some of the people who are also most at risk against white supremacist violence. So that's one call out. As far as for things for people to do, build your own rapid response networks, organize with your friends so that you know, you can use all the lesson model. You know, every one of these white supremacists show up, they have to be confronted. They have to be taught. And we have to be calling out the state for sort of coddling them and allowing them their space, you know, with this mindset that they're always going to work together and that the state is never going to save us, right? Mm-hmm. That we have to build our own community defense. And then for the upcoming speech in Gainesville, you know, power to all of the people who are organizing to shut that down. You know, I'm willing to bet this was also a way to sort of preempt his speech in Gainesville and try to recruit people on his side who've come showing up. You know, and I hope that for those in Gainesville and in Florida, they use this as a base to build their own infrastructure for anti-fascist resistance as well.
Awesome. Well, hey, thanks so much for joining us, and you know, best of luck to y'all. Is there anything that you can say as to how people can support you? And also, where should people go to get updates about what's going on?
Sure.
In Charlottesville.
For people to support us, you know, it's this will kind of answer both questions, but I would say for people to follow on Twitter, Solidarity Seville. They do a lot of the live on the ground reporting for a lot of anti-fascist resistance, and they on their website solidaritycivil.com, they post a lot of articles and report backs of actions that happen here. And then for support, you know, one of in solidaritycivil.com there is a demands page of demands that we've been using to mobilize and pressure the city around very immediate needs, particularly of the poor Black community here, you know, around housing and policing, but also very specific needs around people who are facing state repression for fighting Nazis. We are still pressuring the city to drop all of the charges from this summer. And, you know, going all the way back to May through September as people continue getting arrested or getting summons for fighting against white supremacy.
Yeah. Well, best of luck to you. You know, I'm really glad that we do this because, you know, as we talked about, I mean, most of the people that are writing articles about this stuff were not even on the ground. And all they're doing is just they're just hoping for the click, the quick clickbait of, you know, neo-Nazis, you know, held a tiki torch, and you know, everybody loves to joke about them, even Dave Chappelle, and you know, but in reality that's exactly what Richard Spencer wants is to really normalize that again, and like you said, make the slugs feel like they can crawl out from under their rocks and come back out into the light. And you know, as people showed last night, I mean, there's going to be a lot more people that are willing to say, you know, not in our town.
Right. I hope there are more people. I hope that's everybody by the end of this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for joining us. And hopefully next time we talk, it'll be under more positive circumstances. But it was great to see so many people out in the streets last night. And, you know, whatever the media spectacle is, you know, we know what actually went down. And it was really exciting to see everybody mobilize in such a short amount of time.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
As long as they got us in chains, putting a foot down to my chest, most of this life's nothing but pain. And I'm fiending till there's nothing left. I'm scheming on the way to fake my death. And when the demons call, ain't seeing y'all. Ghosts in the house, I sleep with y'all. When you see me coming, you better start off running. Me beat the war drum and jumping till there's a beat, and we know that we done it, yeah. I'm nothing nice, don't make me tell you what I told you twice. We dream blind and diamond kite, boots off and the sun is burning bright. Seen fly by with days that's borrowed. We all know there's no tomorrow, and that's just how it goes. Everybody knows, everybody knows, everybody goes, everybody dies. We can still look in each other's eyes, leaving no shackles of measurable time. Watching the stacks of the calendars climb. Light bitch on your skin, what do you regret about where you've been? Did you fear God and hide your sins? We be scared when the light goes dim. Then we close our eyes, never knew sorrow again. Walk in the stars, free with our thoughts. I go with the breath in my lungs and shed my dirty skin. Yeah!
We are the ones that made it here.
Crushings in the palms of giants. No love, cause I was born defiant. Caught fighting in a system of violence. Stop telling me that I gotta be somebody I'm not. That I gotta vote for another damn joke that I never rap.
represent my thoughts. That I gotta sit back inside when I see another youth get shot by cops. Been locked up like many other motherfuckers with the same last name I got. They've always been teaching us lessons about how a fight is not worth it, in hopes that we won't disturb them. Came up with a couple of gods and laws to worship. We service the servants that burn us at every sermon, that make many governments working. But none of us understand that we got power to stop anything that's not worth it. In the past been enslaved, once greater, but God that never saved. Never raised no minimum wage, another boss that never managed to properly pay. But I'm on my long grind, cutting off high strings, struggling neck black ties. And it might be a pipe dream, but I wanna believe this world could be better than what it seems. See, in the end, when the lights dim, it's not about the skin that we're in. It's about what we do, what we live, we realize we get bigger than we think. As we lift little fists to the sky, like a flies on crying, oh.
We are the ones that made it here, and we are the ones that they will fear. We are the ones that made it here, no one can make us disappear. We are the ones that made it here, and we are the ones that they will fear. We are the ones that made it here, no one can make us disappear.
Fuck what y'all saying, cut that string, feeling impatient, so much pain in my heart I can taste it. Yeah, world's got mad, just face it. Raise that fist, clench on your chest. Wait till that everything, please take a breath. Hold it to hold it, then no one can help you. And time moves slowly, you don't even know me. I can feel sunlight on my bleeding tongue. Live shit quick on a loaded gun. Color my skin, the waves of rainbow, transfuse alien blood. Give me a drug, give me a clue, give me a taste of what y'all do. We could all spin in a canvas and cover the masterpiece, but what is your truth?
We are the ones that made it here.
Police.
Fuck the police.